It is good to be gathered here today. It is sad when some of our members cannot be here because of health issues and things that are beyond their control. We know who is here and who is not. And those who put forth special effort to be here, having dealt with a number of difficult things in the past few hours. For our text this morning, we've chosen Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, a very fitting passage when we're speaking about ingratitude. If you're familiar at all with the event that occurred there, you will realize why we chose this particular passage. And it reads, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." We're going to be speaking about rising above ingratitude. What will you be thinking about approximately 3 weeks from now? You go like, what? How do I know what I'm going to be thinking about 3 weeks from now? You know, it's hard to imagine, given how turbulent life can be, but I suspect you'll likely be considering the Thanksgiving holiday and all of the food that goes along with it, maybe gathering together with family to partake of turkey cranberry sauce or all the delicious desserts that might go along with it. And there are those that eat odd things. There are those that insist on making dressing with oysters. Don't quite get that for Thanksgiving, but that's okay. But we'll all be thinking about this. We'll be giving thanks. You know, it sometimes seems that we reserve conversations about being grateful and conversations about giving thanks to this holiday in November. We faced a lot of difficulty this past year, the pandemic, politics, and all the various difficulties we faced. Gratitude might be hard to come by. I've actually heard people say, what do I have to be thankful for? Let's take our time this morning here and talk how that thankfulness is sometimes stolen from us and what we can do to keep it alive all year long. So let's discuss rising above ingratitude. Again, returning to our text, notice that those who were healed were all those who were in need of healing. There were 10 lepers, and as according to decency, custom, and health practices of the day, they separated themselves from everyone else, standing afar off, crying out, Lord, save us. Have mercy on us. And the Lord did. Don't you think they would all be grateful? It's interesting to me as I read this, and one thing that I considered was the fact that he said to all 10, go show yourselves unto the priests. 9 of them could. And 9 of them did exactly what the Lord said after they were healed. Because after he said, go show yourselves to the priests, as they started to go, they were cleansed. One of them was not even allowed to go to the priests. He was a Samaritan. And yet, realizing and understanding the great benefit that had been bestowed upon him, he was grateful. And he turned to Jesus to thank him. Where were the 9? Perhaps overjoyed by having been healed, but expressing ingratitude just the same. What are some things that perhaps get in the way of our gratitude? Well, sometimes when we express something like this, we need to show the opposite so we can see both sides of the situation, if you will. Let's look first at distraction versus alertness. Distraction leaves us too busy to see God's blessings all around us. The distraction that these nine had were that they were had been instructed to go and present themselves to the priest. You know, that was in keeping with the law. If you'll read about when one had leprosy or a spot in the skin or something of that nature, they were to be pronounced unclean. They had to separate themselves for a period of time, and they were to observe the particular progression or digression, if you will, of the particular situation, and then after a certain period of time, go back to the priest, and the priest would pronounce them clean. Jesus was simply telling them, I want you to follow the law. Jesus lived under the law. They lived under the law. Jesus provided for them a great miracle. But it does not take a lot of time to stop and say, thank you, and really mean it. Oftentimes, people, I think, say thank you, but it's almost as common as, hey, how you doing? Do they really mean it? Distraction leaves us too busy. Only nine could go before the priest, but they became too distracted to stop and say, thank you so much. You know, some get caught up in all of life's chaos that we leave too little time to consider how our lives have been changed and why they have been changed. How many of us as children of God stop and thank God for the wonderful opportunities that are ours? For the wonderful opportunity that brought us to a knowledge of the truth so that we could respond as God would have us respond, so that we could be His child. What do we focus on? What do we think about? People say, well, you've got to work, you got to do this, and you've got to do that. No doubt. And there are distractions in life. But we can't become too busy to stop and give thanks. On the flip side of that coin is alertness. Alertness causes us to stop and thank God for all we enjoy. And as you turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, we want to look at this passage. We want to consider about being alert, being aware. Being alert doesn't mean always standing at attention and just blocking out absolutely everything, but being aware of the things that are going on with our lives. And as Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 points out, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. And notice this, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatever we do in word or deed, the things that we say, the things that we do, we are to do so by the authority or in the name of the Lord Jesus. But while doing so, thanking God. I think a lot of times our thanks to God is limited to while we're gathered together in service or about the material blessings of life or about some of the many mundane things of this life that will pass away with this world. Whatever we do in word or deed, give thanks to God and the Father by Him. You know, the whole of our life is to be alert to what God has provided. It is rarely a day goes by that I don't stop and consider something God has done that has enhanced my life. Notice that I did not say what God has done for me, because God has done the same thing for me He's done for everyone. He gave His word after sending His Son. His Son died upon Calvary's cross. The gospel message was here. It's been proclaimed by people. But daily, we have things for which to be thankful. To remember the source of these blessings. And to express and show Him our gratitude. In listening to the prayers many times, in listening to my own prayer, I'm not going to put everybody else in this category because I don't hear everybody's prayer. But even in public prayers, we hear this. Oftentimes we're asking God for this or for that, or for this opportunity or for that opportunity or that door to be opened, rather than maybe listing some blessings. And saying, we thank Thee for this. We thank Thee for that. We thank Thee for the opportunities. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Another passage from the same epistle. Tells us that the gratitude is to be an integral part of the Christian life. We cannot go through life as Christians and not be grateful. The Apostle Paul directed the minds of these brethren, as the Spirit had him write, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That's like saying pray without ceasing and always be thankful. Now, we must also maintain a proper relationship with God so that we might continue to pray, so that we can always pray. And then we need to be aware of the fact that all spiritual blessings come from God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Now, these are only applied to those that are in Christ. Those who are in Christ have every reason to be grateful. There is no distraction. In Romans, it points out that nothing can keep us from the love of Christ. But what does? Whatever we allow. Our distractions, the distractions that are placed before us, and friends, they are multiple. But what do? We are to push these things aside, out of our minds. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Whatever we do, wherever we go as Christians, we should give thanks to the Lord along the way. You know, our eyes are continually open to both the incredible spiritual blessings and the everyday gifts that God has richly blessed us with. The beauty of nature, the love of family, the fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. What's the challenge? You know, when you present two sides, usually there's a challenge. Think about it this way. Perhaps if I go on a gratitude walk, I don't mean actually get out and walk, and if you want to, that's okay too. There's a lot to see and a lot to be thankful for. But spend some time considering those things that are around, those blessings that we have, the beauty of life. Looking for God's blessings. If you look for them, they will appear. Secondly, we perhaps need to think about discouragement versus acceptance. You know, discouragement over life's troubles and difficulties sometimes rob us of the joy of life. We all have so much for which to be happy, for which to be thankful, for which to be grateful, but what do we focus on? That which will discourage us. I'm told that there are so many people that are down, that suicide numbers are way up because people just can't handle it. Why? Because they're discouraged. Why are they discouraged? Because bad things happen. Bad things have been happening since Adam and Eve decided to eat of the fruit. And they will happen until such time as the trumpet sounds. And there are going to be some bad things that happen to some who have not obeyed the gospel and who have not been faithful. But discouragement in this life robs us. Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. Jesus is talking about the various kinds of soils and the seed being sown. And we, as children of God, are seed sowers. We are to sow the seed. We do not know where it will land, so far as the type of heart or mind that the person has. But in verses 20 and 21 of Matthew 13, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. We become a person of ingratitude when we fill our hearts with complaining, griping, murmuring all over all the ways that things haven't worked out the way we thought they should. And I know we all do it. I have an upcoming situation. I mean, I don't think of one right at the moment, but anytime I have a situation that is upcoming, I have in my mind worked out this is the way it's going to go. Click, 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 click. We're going to be done with this. Does it work out that way? No. Why? Because that's my concept of how it's supposed to go. Does that mean we don't get to the end result? No, that I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that's the nature of humanity. We have a conversation coming up with someone, and we anticipate how that conversation is going to go. Then we become discouraged because it doesn't go that way. But acceptance leads us to give thanks in all of life's circumstances. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, those brethren there who faced tribulation, who faced trial, who faced hardships that we cannot even really imagine. You know, we really have a real pretty good life. And you think, well, no, I hurt, I'm sick, I've got this situation at work, I've got that, I got, and we start, what, complaining, murmuring, griping? We've got it pretty good in comparison to first century Christians. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is God's will that we are thankful, that we have gratitude in our lives. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. You know, though we may not give thanks for everything, we are to give thanks in everything. I say that to say, you know, when certain things happen, we're not to give thanks because we were in a car accident. I really don't see anything to be thankful for there, except when I come out of the car accident and still have my life. But we can be thankful in everything. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And that doesn't mean we pray to all people. He says rejoice. When you see people on the street, when you see people at the restaurant, when you see people in your home, what do you think? What are they upset about? When I stand here and look, sometimes I wonder, what are they upset about? We are to be happy because we are thankful. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. You want to be thankful? Look at the last few verses here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, if we do that, we're going to rejoice and we're going to be grateful. We should thankfully rejoice in the Lord always, even in times of trouble, even during trying times. If we keep our minds on these things, we can accept whatever may occur in our lives. That's not to say our lives are going to be just a bed of roses. It's not. There's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be difficulties. But we can always be thankful. What's the challenge? Perhaps we need to ask ourselves, how does loss or harm open one up to gratitude? What is the silver lining in this cloud? Another area is deception versus acknowledgement. Deception binds us to God's power in our lives. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 shows that lack of knowledge or refusal of knowledge of God and His Word results in one being deceived by the world and the prince of this world. There are many people who are not gracious people, not thankful people. They can't rise above gratitude because they don't know God's word. They're not aware of what God has provided. And Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 describes these people. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Why do people go around in a funk? Because they don't know God's word. Because they don't read God's word. I wonder sometimes when I see Christians who are always downtrodden. What's missing? Oh, wait a minute. I think I just said that. They don't read God's word. They don't study God's word. We forget to show the Lord honor and gratitude when we foolishly act as though there is no God. You know when most people need God in their lives? When there's a tragedy. when there's just an awful, life-changing tragedy, they'll turn to God for a minute. That's deception. But acknowledgement helps us to honor God, seeing His goodness through blessings. Turn with me to James chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. We're going to see a number of things here, some admonition toward the brethren, some information. But we'll also see that the source of all that is good. James chapter 1, verses 16 beginning. Remember, he's writing to Christians, and he says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." In other words, stop and think about the source of all goodness. Be grateful. He said, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Every good thing comes from God. Now, there are some good things that have come from God that man has absolutely ruined. I used to say about people at work, somebody would come and they'd say, "Well, you know, we're introducing this new tool. Is there somebody we can have try it out?" And I'd say, "Yeah, give it to so-and-so. He can tear up an anvil with a rubber hammer." Man will mess things up. But God has given us all good things. But look at verse 18. It shows us His greatest gift to mankind, His Word, which teaches us how to be saved and to be in Christ. And people say, "Well, wait a minute. Wasn't Jesus His greatest gift?" You can't separate Jesus and the Word. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But that Word in printed form provides for us the information that we need so that we can acknowledge Him. We will not be deceived. You show me somebody who spends time in the Bible, diligently studying, rightly dividing, I'll show you somebody that's not deceived. Now, you show me somebody who's deceived, I'll show you somebody who does not spend time in the Bible, or if they spend time in the Bible, don't rightly divide the Word. "Of His own will begat He us," in other words, brought us forth, He birthed us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures, acknowledging Him. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4, "Even all the beasts of the field are good for food." You know, there's some things that people don't like to eat, and some things that people won't eat. I used to, would not eat sushi. I told my son it was called bait. If prepared properly, it's good. It's good for food. Thus far, the only thing that I have refused to try is possum. And the reason I don't eat possum is buzzards won't even mess with it. But what has God said in His Word? "For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving." If you like possum, more power to you. Be thankful for it. For every incredible gift that we have, we should recognize the source. And for those gifts, we should be continually thankful to God, continually grateful to God for providing what we don't deserve. The challenge for the Christian to pray that we see His grace all around us and overflow with thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. You know, we have to be taught this. We have to be taught to be thankful. Somebody wonder, how come these young people are not thankful? Well, they've not been taught to be thankful. They're like little birds in a nest. Every time mama or daddy bird comes around, whoever does the feeding or whatever, the little mouse pop open and a little chirp, 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 chirp until they're fed. But that's nature. We have to be taught to be thankful and to express that thing, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. What teaches us to be thankful? Again, friends, it's the Word of God. Fourthly, that which would stand in the way of us and being grateful, or that which would cause us to be in gratitude, would be the look at disdain versus assistance. You know, disdain for others leads us to pridefully compare our situations with other people's lives. Look at Luke chapter 18, verses 11 and 12. Our focus needs to be on the Word of God and how it is to guide our lives, not on what or how we think others are or how we think they should be guided. I mean, the Word of God guides everyone the same way, but not everybody receives that Word to the same degree. Not everybody follows that Word to the same degree. We are to focus on us. Matter of fact, we are going to stand in judgment for ourselves, not for them, nor they for us. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Keep in mind, this Pharisee, this publican, they were both Jews. They were both children of God under that law, and therefore they had the right of prayer. But it still must be handled properly. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. What had he done? Well, he'd set the bar pretty low. He's saying, I'm going to tell you what the standard is, Lord. And I think people do that today. You know, I'm not like those people. You ever heard that? I'm not like those people. No. You're like you are. And you should not have disdain for others. It's a trap that leads us to think that we are better than others because of what we have and what others lack, or the difference in situation. What did he say? Well, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. Look at me, Lord. I'm so good. What is he saying? He said, the Lord loves me better than this fellow? No. He failed to look at himself. He had disdain. You know, but assistance binds us together in sharing and in sacrificial love. Oftentimes people will say, we need people to give to this cause. I mean, political races are starting to manifest themselves, and political people are trying to raise money for their campaigns and that sort of thing, and that's what you hear. And it builds up to a fevered pitch until November. And believe it or not, some on the national stage are already starting to ask for money. I'm saying, we want you to give till it hurts, one person said. I think when we give to the Lord, we should give until it feels great. Now, that don't mean we, you know, give the Lord a dollar and feel great about it. I'm not talking about that. Give sacrificially. Assist sacrificially. You know, God in Christ sacrificed so that we could have the promise of eternal life. God gave his only begotten Son. Christ died upon Calvary's cross, sacrificed himself, gave his life, so that we can have the hope of eternal life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, the Corinthians were being reminded of this. They needed to be reminded of it, and we need to be reminded of it, that we are to assist one another. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we thank not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, while being renewed in the Word, we are to be ever grateful and assist others so that they could also be children of God, rising above ingratitude. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 11 and 12 shows that we can be enriched and renewed by God through his Word, and in so doing, gratitude should be produced. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes us through thanksgiving to God for the administration of this servant, not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. You know, as we spread the gospel, our collective thankfulness should increase as well. When we share our monies, when we share our time, when we share our possessions in service to God, we honor God and we honor each other. And we create, believe it or not, even more reasons for which to be thankful. The challenge. Ask yourself this. What changes in me when I decide to live in and express gratitude for the joy of serving others? Have you ever done something for someone just to do something for someone? Not for what's going to benefit you. Not for what you will get out of it. not for praise or accolades. Turn to Psalm 100. We're going to read verses 3 through 5. We're going to see how God wanted his people to gather together, how he wanted them to thank him, to praise him. Ask yourselves, how can I be more thankful? How can I not be ungrateful? How can I rise above ingratitude? The psalmist was directed to write, Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You will not find the psalmist writing, enter into his gates with griping and complaining and murmuring, or into his courts with sadness and fallen countenance. The Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. Friends, we have so much for which to be grateful. But some have lost their joy. You know, if you've lost your joy and you're looking to find it again, just being grateful for God's incredible blessings may be the ticket to help pull you out of this terrible rut. And I know that some people, upon hearing this, or maybe upon hearing it later, will say, you know, I really don't have that much to be thankful for. Then you're not looking deep enough. We need to stay alert for opportunities to be thankful, to accept life's circumstances as opportunities to grow, to acknowledge God's blessings toward us, and to assist others through this life in sacrificial service. You know, I don't care how bad it is, how sad it is, how difficult it might be, there's somebody else that is suffering worse than you. Kind of reminds me of the guy who was complaining because he had no shoes. Then he saw a man with no feet. Think about it. You know, the devil doesn't want you to be content. He doesn't want you to be thankful. You know, he knows. He said, if I can get just a kernel of discontentment in these people, and they look at the shady side of things, they look at the sad aspect of things, they look at the difficulty as something they can't rise above. Wow, he's pretty much won, hasn't he? Why not rise above life's difficulties? Why not rise above ingratitude and praise God for all that he's done? Why not be thankful for God's plan to save a lost soul and then be obedient to that plan so that you might take part in and be thankful for the great promises of God that are extended to all who will be obedient and then remain faithful? You know, life is a journey. It's really a destination, because that journey determines your destination. How we live this life, what we do in this life, whether or not we obey God, determines our destiny. And we can go through life sad, discontented, full of ingratitude, or we can go through life happy, because we know God, we love him, we obey him, we serve him. Today, if you need to obey the gospel, we're going to lay out the gospel plan of salvation as it is put forth in the Word of God. We're going to show you how simple it is to be responding to God. Just a few things that you must know and a few things that you must do. First, one must hear the Word of God. In John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. People say, well, the Lord hadn't drawn me. We've been drawing people for 2,000 years. He said, I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. The prophets were foretelling of Christ. Christ came and he died. And then the gospel was delivered so that man could be taught. And how is man taught? Usually by hearing. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. One must also believe. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But in order to do that, we must have faith. We know faith cometh by the word of God. But Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Interesting, we're talking about ingratitude. Without faith it is impossible to be grateful. But it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One must also repent. One cannot remain in a sinful life, in a sinful existence, participating in sinful things, and come to God at the same time. Those two things are diametrically opposed. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30. And we must confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Mark 16:16, Simon Peter did exactly that when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I think I might have said Mark, that's Matthew 16:16. And one must be baptized into Christ. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. So that everyone will understand, that is when one contacts the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is the only thing that God has provided that will remit the sins of man. And then one must remain faithful. Peter's audience was told in 2 Peter 2:20, that those who are entangled again therein and overcome. In other words, those who have obeyed the gospel and then go back into the world, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. So it is imperative that once we obey the gospel, once we become a child of God, that we remain faithful. But if you've done these things, what if you become a person mired down in ingratitude? Unthankful. You must repent and pray. In 2 Timothy 2:25-26, we read, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Notice what they must do. They must recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Turn back to the Lord. Repent and pray as Christians. You know, whether you've never obeyed the gospel or whether you need to return to God through repentance and prayer, you have so much for which to be thankful. Why not make your life totally complete and rise above ingratitude? Won't you obey as together we stand and sing the selected hymn?